So be it. Nobody's got all the answers. All right, now, where are you good with that? You understanding that? And you understanding how the Bible put together isn't in a chronological order? So that helps clarify. But the amazing thing is that the order it's put in is recognized as a chronology that follows a premillennial interpretation of end times. He goes, after the book of Acts, you go from Romans all the way to Philemon, which are all Paul's epistles to Christians, to the church. That's why I teach very clearly. People can say whatever they want. It's dispensationalism, where there are divisions, because that's a defined period of time that's in an order, not in the order the books were written, even his epistles. And you're seeing from Romans all the way to Thessalonians, where he writes to seven churches. And there are seven churches in the book of Revelation. So he wrote to more than seven churches, but God selected seven. And the seventh church, the entire emphasis is on the rapture. And not mistaking the suffering of their personal experience at Thessalonica, equating it with the tribulation period of Daniel's 70th week. That's exactly what's going on today, where Christians are, as we get closer and closer, they're beginning to get, you know, swayed into thinking because of what's going on in the world, we may be getting ready to go through the tribulation. Not understanding we're not. The tribulation that God talks about in the book of Revelation has nothing to do with the church. What follows are Hebrews. So there's no mistaking it. This has nothing to do with Christians. This has nothing to do with, you know, quote unquote, a Jewish Christian. It's the ethnicity of the Hebrew people that are being addressed and confronted with the fulfillment of Jesus Christ in Sunday times and last days. Now Jesus himself, the Son of God, being manifested to demonstrate he fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. One thing at a time, he takes you through that. That's why Hebrews is such a challenging book for Christians to try to apply to other Christians when it's not addressed to the body of Christ. And yet, all scriptures given by inspiration, and it has an application to you and I. But I gave you that rule. There are three groups of people. Clearly, the Jewish people corporately, the Hebrews, can forfeit the right to the kingdom, which involves the Holy Ghost and eternal life and the promised land. That can all be forfeited if they deny Christ, which is going to be presented to them fresh and anew during the tribulation. That's what you're reading in Hebrews. Remembering that context helps you, okay, I got it, because Hebrews 6 is one of the most common passages people go to show you can lose your salvation. And it's about a kingdom, and it's about enduring to the end. That is the type of language that Christ is using in Matthew chapter 24. He that heareth the gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, and endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's that Christ is the Messiah. And, surely he dies and buries and resurrected, which is understood in Hebrews, not yet in Matthew, because he hadn't done that yet. But it's the same message addressing Jewish people, because they that in Judea flee, this, that, and the other. Has nothing to do with you and I. You recognize Paul's epistles. That's why I teach there's no tithing. Paul's epistles talk about giving all the time, but no tithing. I know tithing preceded the law, amen, but it was never mandated. It was because he chose to. So if you want to tithe, you can, but you're not mandated to. People that were mandated to are under the law. It's a Levitical means of an economy to support that priesthood, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek. So in fact, Abraham is marking the end of tithing, not the beginning. Amen. It's fulfilled in Melchizedek. And that's why it's never found in Paul's epistles. That's why the Sabbath isn't found in Paul's epistles. Do you understand? But all the other commandments are. See? So if it's in Paul's epistles, then it applies to you and I. And God specifically brings out creation. He talks about polygamy and, divorce and all that. That's all addressed in Paul's epistles, homosexuality. It's all addressed, see? But there are certain things that are specifically designated towards the Jewish people in their covenant relationship with God when he brings a kingdom on earth. which has nothing to do with you and I, because the kingdom on earth right now is not a Jewish, physical, visible kingdom. It's spiritual. It's the kingdom of God. You got that?
Yes.
Brother Jim.
I know it's not definitive as far as James.
Yes.
Right?
Who wrote the book of James?
Is the stepbrother of Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's what some people teach. Others teach it was the Apostle James.
I believe he is.
Is what?
James is the writer of the book of James.
Well, which James?
James is the Apostle.
Well, I agree with that. Oh, okay.
James is not James, the brother of Christ, or the stepbrother of Christ, was not an apostle.
No, he wasn't.
But Jude or Judas, who wrote the book of Jude, is the brother of James. He was an apostle.
Yes, okay, so...
identified.
Well, Jude wasn't the same brother as... not the same James as John.
No.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. So what do you... So, okay.
So you just got everybody messed up.
So where are you going?
So did
I...
James is the stepbrother of Jesus Christ.
Why would you say that?
Well, only because I believe that's what I believe.
Oh, well, just because that's what you believe.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that's what I believe.
No, but the thing is, I mean, even Jude declares himself as being the brother of James.
Where are you talking about? The general epistle of Jude?
In Jude 1.
Okay.
Would that not identify Jude as a half-brother of Jesus Christ himself?
Jude?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not certain of that, because you're saying Jude wasn't also the brother... of James the Apostle.
Yes.
James
was not the... No, I'm saying that Jude is the brother of James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Stepbrother.
Okay.
So they're both stepbrothers of Jesus Christ.
Well, I could... Like you said, it's not definitive. You're using that as a reason, which is fine. Because James... It's what's difficult... The reason it's difficult is James isn't identified as anything more than... James, a servant of Jesus Christ.
And then who else would
could have been James the Apostle, which means he died. He wrote this before Acts chapter 12. So you only have really. I mean, it's not really a lot of options you have. I mean,
then
it's,
who is James the son of Alphaeus?
In the book, in Matthew chapter number 3.
Luke 6:16.
He's one of the apostles.
The one that got killed.
No.
No, the one that got killed was James, the brother of John. So there's more than one James.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's what's confusing.
Well, it's one of the... So,
you're talking about three then, James.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it could have been a different James. I don't know.
Right.
But whether or not it was James, the son of Alphaeus, James, the brother of John, or James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the brother of Jesus Christ, but we recognize it wasn't. There was no DNA connection. I don't know. Nobody knows. I only know if it was James, the brother of John, it was written before Acts 12.
Yeah.
And that would align with my understanding of why it doesn't include the Pauline revelations of, you know, involving the crucified life and abiding in Christ that both John and Peter do.
Yes.
See, that would be the strength of an argument that it was James the Apostle. Because if it was one of the other James, you would think it was still written pretty early. Because he doesn't have anything Pauline in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason. So it lines up. So here you have a difference of opinion that either one could be correct. And it, when it's taught or preached, you have the liberty to give and the latitude to give the reasoning for your, and then follow that theme throughout the lesson, if you're teaching it, throughout that book. Like we're teaching Judges from a very clear, you know, a thematic perspective of the mind, you know what I mean, and causing us to stumble from the victories. So we're teaching it that way. Doesn't mean it can't be taught as a historical and prophetic book, that it's rich in types of what's going to happen in the last day. So I'm not divorcing or severing that as a not only a possibility but a reality. Yet that's not the emphasis. So if you were to teach the book of James or preach from it from a verse, and you want to use that, then you would carry that position in your belief. Not that I know how much that would vary on how you would teach it, anyways.
Well, James never calls himself an apostle anyway when he writes.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
But Peter and Paul do.
Yes, they do.
Very descriptive.
Yes. Hmm. And yet you'll find that they do in their writings, Peter and Paul. But James doesn't. So which way it is, don't know.
Did John call himself an apostle?
Not in his epistles, he doesn't. Right? Does it? What does it say, John? Well, what's the title of John? The first epistle general of John. Does it say John the Apostle? No, he doesn't call himself an apostle there. But he said Paul. Paul does. So I don't think John is calling himself an apostle neither.
Well, the reason I say that is because brothers are usually like-minded.
Well, you're just getting up points that would be, reasons why, you believe it a certain way.
I never had a brother, so I don't know.
No, you never had a brother? Well, I'm your brother. sure. Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, I got a straight about the order.
Okay.
But you passed over something really cool that I think needs to be emphasized. You talk about the seven churches in Revelation.
Yes.
And how Paul, his epistles are to seven different churches.
Yes.
I think that is pretty cool.
That's more than cool.
Yeah.
It's instructive.
Yeah.
Because there are seven churches in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
He wrote to more than seven churches. The seventh church, what immediately follows, me and Andy were talking about this yesterday. What immediately follows the seventh church is the rapture. Yeah. And a lot of people are struggling as we approach the tribulation. It's obvious that times are getting worse, more dangerous, precarious. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. The pace of what's going on is intensifying. Because the Bible says the devil knows his time is short. So he's getting angry, and his knowledge shall increase. In years past, there was it took a generation to merge from and transition from a cultural way of our grandparents to the next. And you could watch it, and one would merge, one would fade out as the other one's fading in. This is fading in before another one fades out. They've got new cell phones coming out before the new ones that just came out are finished coming out. So you've got this incredible pace that is taking place here, which is showing you that we're approaching the last days. That's why Jesus Christ is a little while, just a short time, so on and so forth. But these seven churches in Revelation, he wrote to more than seven churches. The last one immediately follows with the trumpet and somebody going up. If you don't get that correct, if you begin to get pulled into this, there's a doctrinal teaching in these blogs and these prophetic magazines and websites that are beginning to because I watch or listen to some of them, and I've always found they're not really doctrinally, something that I would consider sound exegetical as far as it is in relationship to verse-by-verse study of the Bible. They get into the phenomena of last things and how it might apply to this scripture in Ezekiel or this scripture in Isaiah. And it's like, wow. But verse by verse, you have that rule that scripture cannot be broken. So something's wrong if we're going into the tribulation. Because all of a sudden out goes dispensationalism, out goes eternal security, because there's only 144,000 sealed in the book of Revelation. Whereas in Paul's writings to the church, the entire church is sealed.
Amen.
And has nothing to do with Jews.
And it's
see
the
that?
Bride.
And it's the bride.
And God isn't going to drag the bride through.
Because what you see in Revelation chronology is chapters 1 through 3. It's nothing but churches. See it?
Right.
And chapter 4, it is the rapture. There's no doubt about it. Heaven opens up in chapter 4. Somebody goes up. You're not told who goes up. But when you get to chapter number 19, it's the only other place somebody comes down. You are told who comes down.
Yeah.
It's the bride.
Yeah.
And we know who the bride is.
Woo!
It's the church. And so all the way through here, in chapters number 6 all the way to 19, that's when you find the seals and this, that, and the other, and all that stuff. It's not found in the first four chapters. But what you find between the fourth chapter, somebody goes up and he gives you a view of chapter number 5, And you know who's up in chapter number 5? The redeemed. There's no tribulation here. There's a bunch of people up here that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're singing to the Lord. And you see the seven spirits of the seven eyes of the Spirit. They're up here in chapter 5 before chapter 6 through 19, where all hell breaks loose. So what's going on in the church today is this idea that, well, we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're going to go before the wrath of God, pre-wrath. And not understanding that what priest, the tribulation is 7 years, 3.5 years of what? Peace. 3.5 years of wrath. And that's where the church is. You're getting pulled in, brother. Because this entire period of time is called Jacob's trouble. Daniel 70th week is determined upon thy people. It has nothing to do with the church. There are three groups of people. The church, the Jew, the church, and, you know, and what?
Gentiles.
So there's three different groups of people. This has nothing to do with us. And now God gives you this perfect illustration in Revelation 6, where all the vials and everything start in verse 1. It's peace. The Antichrist on the white horse. Then hell breaks loose. We are gone. The rapture takes place before chapter 6, verse 1. It takes place in chapter 4. See? He's giving you the outline. So if you have, that's why what you said with the seven churches. Paul also writes to seven churches, and the last one, it wasn't the last one he wrote to, but the last one in the order of how it's assembled. That's you can't explain this book. The last one, how it's assembled, is Thessalonians. The first one is Corinth, where they're babies and they're carnal. See, I mean Romans is the syllabus that lays out the themes that each book following focuses on. Each one, certain themes in Romans. He's got the whole, it's a synopsis. This is what we're going to be learning in my writings to the epistle. And he goes through them. And then it begins with Corinth. And it ends with persecution and suffering. And they're saying, man, we must be going through the tribulation here because we're suffering. And he said, whoa. That's not the tribulation of Daniel 70th week is what he's assuring them. And he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What comfort is there to a Christian who thinks he's going through the tribulation? There's no comfort, brother. Amen. But everything changes if we go through the tribulation, even the first half, because all of a sudden, he's dealing with Jews, Israel again. What happens to the church? All of a sudden, there's only 144,000 sealed. What happens to you and I? All of a sudden, signs and wonders come back in. Amen. You know, what's going on? I mean, now you've got to worry about the mark of the beast. You got to worry about, you know, start storing food and all this. That's what's happening to the church today. And the reason is because they're not enduring the sound doctrine. Whenever Paul talks about the last days, when he writes to the church, it has nothing to do with, you know, bombs going off and aliens from outer space and, you know, poisonous, you know, hellion locusts coming from underneath the earth and, you know, whoredoms and floods and so on. He never talks about that from Romans all the way to Timothy. He talks about they're not going to endure sound doctrine. And he talks about they should be lovers of themselves. He's talking about the integrity and the character of believers apostatizing, and it's all because they reject this book. You know, the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. Preach the word, be instant. That's what we're seeing happening. So we're watching that. That doesn't mean because we're watching that we're going to go through the tribulation. No, that means because we're watching that the tribulation's getting ready to start. And when it starts, we're not going to be here for any of it. Do you see the difference? When you've got that sound exegesis that is rightly dividing the word of God, throw dispensationalism out the window if we go through the tribulation because it's wrong. You can lose your salvation. You better endure to the end. See, throw it out the window if what I'm saying is wrong. But what I'm saying lines up with scripture and scripture and is on the timeline of the chronology of the book of Revelation, it is spot on. Amen? And gives you peace, brother.
So, yeah, the call to the church in Laodicea is for fellowship.
Yes, it is.
So the devil in the last days, he knows this. And he has a counterfeit fellowship.
Yes, he does.
Emerging church.
Yes, it is.
It's counterfeit because it includes signs and wonders.
Includes the signs and wonders? Is it charismatic?
The real fellowship doesn't include that. It's a walk by faith. Okay. That's not a walk by faith.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a walk by feeling. And because God said, whom I love, I what? Chasten and rebuke. That's to Laodicea. And because he, like you just said, he counterfeits what God does. He doesn't originate anything. So he sees this ignorance of God's love. And the unawareness of what being wretched means, because he only talks about it in Revelation 3 to the Laodicean church and Romans. Paul says, I am wretched. And that's the direct chain. He wants you to understand wretchedness is, it's overemphasized that it's our depravity and our wicked. We're so wretched. We're so wicked. And it's like, yeah, you are. But what God is bringing out is you're weak. Not just wicked. And your weakness that can't overcome this wickedness is something that I have overcome in your behalf by virtue of what was accomplished at the cross. So Paul is telling you in Romans 7, there's victory for you. Amen. It's not this, you know, beat you down. So that concept of wretchedness is driving Christians away from what belongs to them, and yet they hunger for a victory, and it's being substituted by a perverse love of God, which the emerging church is offering, which perverts the holiness of God because it exaggerates the grace of God to an extent that not only does it allow sin, it permits it. And the grace of God never does that, amen? Because though it allows it and permits it, it's not in a way where he doesn't condemn it. He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. He just doesn't say, go.
Right.
And that's what's going out there. That's why you can't be so rigid that sin comes into church and you run it out because nobody would be here. But sin can't be allowed to come in a church without a check of the conviction of the Holy Ghost, who himself will bring a person to the understanding of the darkness that can't fellowship with the light. God's going to do that. I'm aware of that. And recognize that that's part of a local church in the last days, that balance. So, any other questions or any other things?
That was excellent.
That's Sunday school. Okay, so now where are we?
I don't know.
Wow, it's 10:48. Is there any other questions on any that sort of stuff?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because before we get back into Acts, I mean, we can hit on something else.
Well, John, you've mentioned in Daniel, underlining here, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Shouldn't that clear it right there that it's not the church?
If you are a dispensationalist, yeah, that recognizes there are how many groups of people?
Three groups.
But people don't recognize that.
Yeah.
And when you see, that's why I told you those four rules for me have been, they've anchored.
And the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of the church's.
You got it, brother. You've got it, Joe.
Yeah.
So you have to throw that type of thinking. That's thrown out the window,
right,
if we are going through the tribulation.
Exactly.
Because what Joe was reading in Daniel 7, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. You see that? Look over there in Matthew 24 now. It has nothing, like Andy said, it was Jacob's, called Jacob's trouble.
Yeah.
See? Look at it in Matthew 24. Look at this. Look at the terminology. So when he talks about in Daniel chapter number 9, he gives them a 70-week chronology, which he talks about the end within that, the end's going to come. Now look at it in Matthew 24. See in verse 13, here's Jesus speaking. But see in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we're seeing that. But now he goes in verse 13. He that shall endure unto what? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Shall be what?
Saved.
So now that becomes the basis for your salvation. If we're in the period of time that is referred to as the end, in regards to it being synonymous with Daniel 70 weeks, the end. That phrase, the end, whenever you see that, 99 times out of 100, brother, it is referenced to Daniel 70 weeks in a prophetic context. And so he says, and this gospel of the what?
Kingdom.
Are they, when Jesus Christ sent out the apostles to preach the gospel, who were they told to preach it to?
Jews first.
That's it. Jews only.
Jews only.
Right. See? And he says, this gospel of the kingdom, there's no mention of the death, burial, and resurrection. Why would Jesus Christ not mention the gospel of the grace of God, death, burial, and resurrection, like Paul wrote about? Because he hadn't died yet. He had no death, burial, and resurrection yet. See? So that's not the good news at this time. The good news at this time is the kingdom's coming. See? The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached on all the world for witness on nations, and then shall what? See the phrase again? And then shall what happen? See the end? Verse 15, when he therefore shall see the abomination of a desolation spoken of by who? He's bringing you to Daniel to properly understand the end. Mm-hmm. It's Daniel chapter number 9. And whoso read it, let him that understand it, let them which be where? Judea. That's not Mexico or United States or Canada. This is Israel, because that's where it's going to take place. That's where the core of this is going to take place. The battle involves the capital city of Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus Christ will rule and reign through. And so you go through this, and he says, woe to be to them with child. Look at verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the what?
Sabbath.
Is the Sabbath have anything to do with you and I?
No.
See? So you've got the Seventh-day Adventist and the Jehovah. They emphasize the Sabbath, even to the point of saying it's the mark of the beast. It's like, come on, man. Why does Paul never talk about the Sabbath as something you and I are commanded to keep? It's Jewish.
Right.
See? For then shall be, here it is right here, shall be what? Great tribulation. See it in verse 22, the end of the verse, but for the what's sake? The elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And he goes through this thing, and it all has to do with the tribulation. Those days has to do with the Jews in Israel and God dealing with that nation and that area in that period of time. Nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with the gospel of the grace of God. You understand that? And then he's going to have, at the end of this, you're going to see a rapture take place. See it in verse number 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the heaven to the sea. That's a rapture. It's taking place at the end of this, which Revelation 14 talks about. We're not the only people getting resurrected up. Jesus Christ is pulling a bunch of people up right before his second advent, when he tramples, you know, alone the wrath of God in that winepress. And so this is all Jewish. See, this is why you find terminology similar to this in the book of Hebrews. And once you got that, it's like, that's what he's talking about. It doesn't have the same doctrinal application to the church as it does the Hebrews. Clearly, because it's not written to the church, it's written to the Hebrews. That's why it matches this.
Yep.
So be careful when you get there, amen? Because he's going to go back. When he's done with the church, raptures us out, he's going right back to the Hebrews.
Yeah.
See that? And then all of a sudden, God's vocabulary addressing the saints and believers in James and Peter and John takes on a Jewish flavor. Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing there. Amen. But with the understanding that Christ has already come. Amen. Sir?
In Zechariah, it talks about, during the tribulation period, that two-thirds of Israel will be ravaged.
Yes, it does.
Does that mean?
Yes.
And then the
means they're going to get killed.
Remnant.
Yeah. Two-thirds is what?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing book, isn't it? It's an amazing book. So that's interesting you talked about this, because I was talking with Andy about the rapture yesterday. Christians are, they don't know, I mean, whether we have, you know, 10, 20, 100, it doesn't matter. The Bible's the Bible, it's the truth. Christians don't want the Bible and the truth anymore. They much rather go to church just to be entertained. And it's not wrong that church can't be entertaining and fun and a good time and fellowship. But brethren, if it isn't coming from and because of a deeper understanding of the Bible, then your edification is in danger of being pulled onto a tangent far away from what God ever intends his body to experience, the joy that he intends us to have.
And the times are short, so we don't got time for all this fun.
No, you don't, brother.
You, really
you don't.
Don't.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Something else about the Jews. You know how they say, referring, and it's sad, it's really sad, when they say about referring to the during the Nazi thing, never again. You know, it was, what, 4,000 Jews, 4 million Jews that were killed? This is going to be way worse.
It's going to be way worse.
They don't even know.
They don't even know. Andy.
I forgot what I said.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was saying, it's just like the entertainment stuff. I mean, like the songs now, even the hymns that we sing, they mean so much more to me now because of the crucified life and understanding the Bible even more and more.
Yes.
So when I see these songs, and I know there's that fellowship going on, you know, with the Lord, you know, when you sing.
Yes, and there should be. Yeah. You know, singing with melody in your hearts to the Lord.
That's the entertainment.
Yes. Yeah. The entertainment is actually a worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you go from this? What do you do? Well, you preach the word. You sow the seed. Brethren, we're not in control of the seed. You're simply not. The ground it falls on, that has nothing to do. Just sow the seed, brother. Put it out. Put out the Bible. We have tracks out there. Just put them out. I went on a run the other day, and on one road I picked out, I just put tracks in every mailbox I was running by. Just stop, put a track, and then run. And God do what he does with it. Amen. We have no idea how he's working in people's lives.
Yeah, John, I was going to say, a lot of error comes in with the word elect.
Yeah.
Go for both Jew and...
Yes, you'll find there's different words associated with the word elect. You'll find it's Jesus Christ is called God's elect.
Right. The elect also falls with the Jewish people.
That's yes, right. Because with the Jewish people, Jewish people, Christ is their Messiah.
Right.
See? And with the Christian, he's our Lord and Savior. We're part of his body. See, this is a national body, you know, with a physical, you know, a physical kingdom. This is a spiritual body with a spiritual kingdom. And then, of course, you've got the elect angels. And what you'll see that anybody that's ever called is an elect is only elect because they made a choice. They cast their vote to believe what God says.
Hey.
Jesus Christ did the same thing. It's an act of faith. Amen. Him coming here and doing, he's showing us that he knows the word of God is true. So you're right. People do confuse.
Yes.
This is what studying is supposed to do.
Yeah.
To show yourself rightly rightly approved workman that you not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's such a thing as dividing the word of God where it doesn't break another scripture when it's compared to. When it does, you have to adjust it. You go back to the if we're going through the tribulation, that's a problem.
Yep.
Because only 144,000 are sealed in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
In the book of Ephesians, everybody's sealed. You see it? It's that breaks scripture. So what does that mean? There's a division. They're both not applying to each other the same. That's where the rapture comes in. He said Daniel 70 weeks. It's Judea. It's thy people.
Yep.
So that's a problem. If we're in the church and the church is here, he's dealing with us. Why? Because he says it's unto thy people. And Judea, whereas we're all around the world. Do you understand?
And Gentiles are going to get saved.
Many of them are going to get saved.
I was just, you know, in the book of Hebrews, you get to the end, at 13, it's like Paul flips the switch.
Yes, he does.
And 13, chapter 13.
It's different.
Like Paul.
It's unique. And he calls it a small epistle, which has a lot of people that believe, that are dispensationally interpret the scriptures, that Hebrews 13 was an addendum to chapter 12, either at the same time in concluding it or afterwards, later on, which I don't know, but it sure looks that way.
That's for the Gentiles.
Because it's different. The writing of chapter 13 is different than chapter 1 to 12. Anything else? Isn't the Bible an amazing book, brother? Okay, so next week, if you come back, we'll try to get to the book of Acts.
John, I think that when he got to chapter 12, he got to Revelation. He understood what the revelation was, and the flat switched on.
So maybe it all happened in chapter 12.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Was it before or after James died? It depends which James it was. All right, well, everybody good? We're going to stop there then, because, all right, we'll